Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shine like lights in the world as you hold on to the word of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went off and plotted how they might entrap Jesus in speech. They sent their disciples to him with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you are not concerned with anyone's opinion, for you do not regard a person's status. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Knowing their malice, Jesus said, "Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin that pays the census tax." Then they handed him the Roman coin. He said to them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" They replied, "Caesar's." At that he said to them, "Then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise 2 weeks ago, on Respect Life Sunday, after the 10 o'clock Mass here, a parishioner asked me if I was allowed by the IRS to speak about some of the things that I had talked about. Including especially the increasing danger to the Catholic Church from our government, including government attempts to eliminate conscience protection for healthcare workers opposed to abortion, requiring church adoption agencies to turn children over to same-sex couples, and most recently, attempts to require Catholic institutions to purchase health insurance policies to pay for, in other words, the Catholic institutions would be paying for sterilizations, abortifacients, and so on for their employees. And in response to all this, I said, the reality is that our bishops have now established a working group of bishops to try to deal with these specific and other threats to religious liberty in our own country. My response to the parishioner was, yes, I am allowed to talk about these issues and to talk about whatever threats there are out there as may be necessary, but I shouldn't lobby for particular candidates like many Protestant churches do, who actually invite their favored candidate to speak at their Sunday morning services. I think there is maybe a little bit of confusion among Catholics with respect to our responsibilities in American life, whether one is a priest or a layperson. And Jesus in our gospel tells us, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Pharisees, we're told, were clearly trying to entrap him. Now, faithful Jews never made an image of God, and they certainly would never have put an image of the God of Israel on a coin. And that was not only because their law forbade it, but also because they knew very well that the image of God, the image and likeness of God, was to be found elsewhere, namely in human beings, in you and me. And that means that we owe everything that we are to him. God's image in us, we ought to bring to fullness within ourselves. And that's my starting point. People who take God seriously will never be silent about their faith. I'm talking about people of any faith. They'll often disagree about doctrine or policy, but they won't be quiet. They can't be quiet. They'll act on what they believe, sometimes at the cost of their reputation and their careers. The common good demands our respect for all people of differing beliefs, and a willingness on our part always to compromise whenever that might be possible. But for Catholics, the common good can never mean us being quiet on foundational issues of human dignity. Our Christian faith is personal, but our faith is never private. Our faith is not some private idiosyncrasy or just a set of opinions which we may indulge at home, but that we have to be quiet about in public. That would be a kind of a fake faith, and it would require a mere fake kind of tolerance, and fake tolerance will always fail. Father Avery Dulles once wrote that the greatest danger facing the church in our country today is that of an excessive and indiscreet accommodation. And what he's saying is that too many Catholics are simply going along with everyone else. They even hide the truth that they are Catholics and disciples of Jesus Christ first and foremost. And in fact, only quite secondarily are they Americans. By some counts, more than 150 members of Congress claim they are Catholic. A majority of Supreme Court justices say they are Catholic. Yet you and I can fairly ask, what difference has all this made? What impact have these self-described Catholics had on American public life? Do you sense that Americans and our American government are more ethical and upright? Do you sense that American political life, that both of our major political parties are now more informed by the gospel, including the gospel of life, than was the case a few generations ago? Or perhaps too often have self-described Catholics made themselves indistinguishable from their non-Catholic neighbors, even indistinguishable from the leadership of the culture of death? Some of them keep the Catholic brand name, but freelance, invent their own notions of what it means to be Catholic. Now, what could you and I possibly do about this sad state of affairs? Well, first of all, if you and I are authentic followers of Jesus Christ, we know that every new beginning must start with our returning to Jesus Christ, to our returning to his gospel and to his church. The heart of all renewal that we need in America and in our hearts is pretty straightforward. Do you and I really believe that the Catholic Church is the true Mother Church that Jesus Christ himself founded and that she teaches in his name? Renewal always begins from the inside out. So you and I need to repent to believe in the gospel. We need to accept the truth that each one of us desperately needs Jesus Christ in our lives. We need to look at how we proclaim our Catholic faith in this culture, rather than passively allowing ourselves and our families to be absorbed by our anti-Christian culture. And dads, fathers, that is primarily your responsibility, to protect your family. Many Catholics do not realize that the modern idea of separation of church and state has explicitly anti-Catholic roots. And even in the 20th century, numerous Supreme Court decisions often used anti-Catholic code language, as Justice Clarence Thomas has written about in detail. What history shows us is that our American political and legal process has rarely been neutral toward the Catholic Church. And today, especially since the election of 2008, there is an undisguised attempt to wall out authentic Catholics from American public life. And now, actually to knock down the walls which have protected our religious liberties with respect to our schools, our colleges, our hospitals, our social services, and so on. There have been attempts to prevent us from speaking the language of faith in places such as veterans cemeteries, And there is now underway a general attack on our religious life in the United States, which, praise God, has been fairly well protected since the foundation of our nation. Now, where is Jesus Christ calling you and me in this situation? Well, people should come away from every encounter with an American Catholic knowing that they have met a real Catholic. And this means that you and I both, we need to grow in courage. We need to pray to God for more courage. Our Catholic faith is not just some ideas, not just some very nice principles. Our faith is a way of life. People need to see the intimate connection between each one of us and Jesus Christ, which means you and I should never kneel before the gods of this world. We should never bow down before the assumptions of our secular anti-Christian world. For example, we should never sell our souls for the opportunity to become the mayor of Chicago. We should never sell our souls for the opportunity to become, for example, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, or to become, for example, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. We should never be willing to sell our soul to become, for example, the Vice President of the United States. And why? Because of, my brothers and sisters, the cross of Jesus Christ, the call to holiness, and because of the reality that every human life is sacred. Every single person is under the judgment of God. And these are truths which are not considered respectable in our secular anti-Christian society. Blessed Pope John Paul II knew well the easy temptation to a kind of false compromise we American Catholics can fall into. John Paul knew that our world wants to eliminate God, to eliminate any reference to God in public, including right now, for example, in our U.S. veteran cemeteries. John Paul knew that our world wants to diminish the significance of any church, and especially, if necessary, to abolish the Catholic Church, and to make us think of ourselves only as very nice do-gooders, rather than as a community of believers and disciples. Brothers and sisters, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is revolutionary. To be an authentic disciple is to be profoundly countercultural. As both Catholics and Americans, each of us must make the gospel's social dimensions a powerful part of our lives. We must work to restore the tradition of authentic Catholic action in the life of our nation. Fake Catholicism, whether in public or private, doesn't cut it. Jesus tells us that he came to cast a fire upon the earth, and he meant a holy fire, a fire of charity of men and women unafraid and in love with God, zealous to bring that love, that witness to their neighbors and to their nation. What do we Catholics need to do today? The answer for each one of us is do not live a lie. If we say we are Catholic, we need to prove it. America, especially our public life, needs people unafraid, willing to stand up without apologies for the truth, for all the truth of our faith, and for the common human values which truth and our Catholic faith defend. You and I ultimately can make a difference, but only if we are willing to sacrifice, if we're willing to suffer, and if we're willing to risk our lives. In my relatively short life, I can still remember some great political leaders of our recent past, Democrats and Republicans, very different people. One I'm thinking of is Senator Eugene McCarthy, a liberal Democrat from Minnesota in the 1960s. I'm thinking of someone like Congressman Henry Hyde, a conservative Republican of Illinois who was particularly prominent in the 1980s and 1990s. Both were faithful, authentic Catholics, both obviously totally pro-life, both quite imperfect, both sinful, and with very different ideas on the best policies for our country. And yet, both of these very different politicians gave to their country public lives which were both totally animated and guided by their Catholic faith. One of the greatest heroes of King Henry VIII's persecution of the church in England was Bishop St. John Fisher. Bishop Fisher, in 1535, was the only English bishop who had the courage to remain steadfastly loyal to the Pope under King Henry's persecution. All the other bishops were scared to death and succumbed to whatever King Henry demanded. In greeting his executioner, just moments before his death, Bishop St. John Fisher declared, "I come to die for the faith of Christ and for Christ's Catholic Church."